think our biggest recommendation, though, is when you're looking at a venue, is the vibe and feel, right? Like, do you feel like the people that you're meeting with is, like, giving you the right vibes, right? Like, it might be the most amazing venue. Is that vibe there, too, right? Like, you really want to make sure that you're all on the same page when it comes to things. And also just understanding if certain parts of the day are really important to you, there needs to be, like, flexibility, right? I think you touched on the schedule thing. You don't really know that when you're going into it. All you think is, I love fall. I don't want to be hot and sweaty. I love the colors and the changing leaves and stuff like that. And that's all you're looking at.
Path to Business, the podcast. We are your hosts, Luke and Bethany Barrett. We're a husband and wife team building a legacy with our three children that we're so damn proud of. Full-time wedding photographer and videographer operating a thriving six-figure business.
We share all our best strategies from the lessons that we've learned along the way.
Featuring other amazing businesses so you can genuinely get inspired.
This is your path to business.
Welcome back. We're going to be talking about one of the biggest pieces of a wedding is the location where you're going to get married or where you're going to have your reception. What we're talking about is wedding venues today. How to find the one that's right for you and some factors that you should be considering when choosing the right one.
Yeah, we've worked with a lot of different venues. And we've seen all kinds of different things. And I feel like it's important for couples to understand, maybe from our perspective, why some things are more important than others at a venue and would be almost worthwhile investing in. Because just because you get married at home, for instance, doesn't mean it's going to be cheaper. And I think that's a very big misconception in the wedding world. Like, unless you're literally doing it in your garage like we did, then you're not really saving any money by doing it at home once you factor in things like renting a tent and renting electricity or whatever, a generator and toilets and all that kind of stuff. Now, today, couples can walk away with some tips and tricks about what they should be looking for in a wedding venue to hopefully make this day not stressful when it comes to the day unfolding. And a lot of venues have put in a lot of time to make that as easy as possible for everyone. And I think that it's just worthwhile noting what makes one easier versus another.
Having a private estate wedding can seem cheaper right off the bat, but if they don't have all the accommodations like outdoor toilets, you're not going to expect all your guests to go into the house to use the bathrooms that are there. If they don't have any coverings, any barns or big garages, then obviously a tent is a must-have. What if it's raining and you don't have, like, you could probably risk it and not have a tent at all and save on the cost, but it's obviously not something that you should risk also.
Let's insert that video that we've seen recently of they did an outdoor ceremony and it came pouring down during the entire thing. You go outside and you can see literally everything is soaked, like buckets of rain came down on them. And so, yeah, if you're going to get married at home and you want to sit down dinner, definitely need a tent. Like, yeah. Definitely need a tent. If there's no cover, like, where are people going to go? Right.
Yeah, not only from the rain, but from the sun. Even if it's a super sunny day and everyone has to sit outside, and like, old people don't want to sit in the sun for hours and hours.
I mean, I don't want to sit in the sun for hours and hours.
That's
either.
True. I don't want to leave my gear out in the sun for hours and hours either.
Overheating. Oh, that can happen to gear, which people may or may not know that, you know, gear can overheat, and it has happened to us actually. So
anyways, we're not here to talk about private estate weddings. We're more looking at established venues that are around the city. First thing that we're going to talk about is budget.
Yeah.
So depending on how much money you have, that can be a deciding factor on which venue you go for.
Yeah, I think before even couples consider a venue, they need to have an idea of how many guests they're going to invite. So I think first things first, figuring out that number, you're going to have 100 people, you're going to have 200 people, you're going to have 50 people. That can really determine, you know, where, first of all, you can get married, because some people or some venues only offer a minimum of 100 people, or you're going to pay for 100 people, right? You might only have 80, but you're still going to have to pay for 100 because their minimum count is 100. And there's other factors as well in that. But yeah, how many people you're going to have is also going to have a huge impact on which venue you can even look at, to be honest with you.
It's almost like playing a game of guess who. what you have to do is just consider all the variables, like number of guests and your budget and this, and then you start flicking them down as you go through, right? Like, oh, a 50-person wedding? Oh, I don't want to pay for 100 people, so all the venues that have a minimum down. And then now you're going, okay, well, do I want it to be more of an outdoorsy type, or do I want it to be more urban?
Yeah.
And then you just process of elimination until you get to the ones that you can choose from. And then at that point, if none of those still fit your style, maybe you consider private estate or having something else or just eloping.
Yeah, like just go to Italy or something at this point. I think when it comes to the amount of people, then you can kind of, like you said, go figure out where you can do it. I think we're getting back into the time where you can maybe choose a date. Like, I think it depends, right? Like certain popular venues, you're not really going to choose your date unless you're booking like sometimes 2 years in advance.
At least 2 years in advance, especially here in Ottawa.
Yeah, to book like a certain venue on a certain Saturday in August or September or October, those seem to be the most popular dates. It's going to be more difficult for you to find, especially if you're just like looking for that specific year. It's not impossible, but it definitely makes it more of a challenge.
And if the date is some kind of kooky number, I remember October 10th, 2020. So 10-10-2020 was going to be a crazy popular day. And I remember
we had so many inquiries for that.
Yeah, tons of inquiries. And unfortunately, COVID happened anyway. So
I don't think anybody ended up getting married. I don't think we shot anything
on
that
day. We didn't know, but I'm sure other ones did.
Saturday.
10-15-25 or some kind of weird number to put together.
The other thing to consider is, do you have a lot of guests coming from out of town? I think that, you know, if you're going to have a wedding and 50% of your guests are coming from all over the world, possibly, you need to consider location for that because that adds to things. For instance, where we live, the airport's like, what, 30 minutes from downtown?
Something like that.
And then imagine you were doing a country venue from there. Like, how do they get to you, right? So you need to have shuttles. There's a lot of things to factor in if you're doing that to make sure that it's also putting the best experience for your guests as well, right? Like people sure could Uber or get rides with people. When you're doing 100 people, sometimes it's just not possible.
More conveniently is if you were to book in the downtown core, a lot of these hotels have venues built into it. So that might be an easier pick so that all of your guests could just stay in the hotel that you're having your wedding in, and you can eliminate some costs on the shuttles and increase the experience for wedding guests as well. They don't have to like get all their stuff. What if they forgot something at the venue, like a pair of glasses or whatever it is? Yeah. They forgot their wallet, their hotel key, and then they have to come back. Like, I don't think there's a shuttle service to come back.
So if you have a lot of guests coming from out of town, I think choosing a venue that makes that convenient. Now, not to say that you can't, like really, there is that possibility of shuttles, but it is an added cost that you're going to have to consider adding to your total budget when it comes to things like that. And then also the biggest determining factor too is the budget, right? Like if you want to spend $30,000, it's going to be very hard to find something for 100 people for that price. It's almost impossible, I would say, in this area. There are some kind of DIY venues that have popped up recently, and I think that those are pretty interesting. You pay like a rental fee for the day, you bring in your own vendors, your own catering, your own booze. And that's a really economical way, I think, for couples to save a lot of money. But of course, those don't exist downtown, right? Like you're looking at, you know, going out to the country. So again, like, is it cheaper to go to a DIY venue? I honestly don't know. I really don't know. I think we'd have to run the numbers to see what that would be like, but I'm assuming just kind of like a tent scenario, it's still going to cost quite a bit of money, right? I think it's going to still add up.
And more time, because there's the organization part of it. So if you don't have a planner or, you know, the day of coordinator will help you on the day of, but typically they won't help you organize, you know, when the booze is going to get there, or the catering, where are they going to set up when they're there, the officiant and live music, like all that kind of stuff. You have to be the point person with all of that. And if they've never worked at these specific venues and they ask you questions like, where do I plug in my power, or how can I get to a speaker?
How many fridges are there?
Yeah, like what's the square footage of this area where I'm going to set up? All these different questions are going to come into play versus venue that's established that has all the answers.
Yeah, and vendors that go to it regularly too, right? I would bet you that cost-wise, it's probably saving you a bit, right? Like, 'cause you're not having to pay per drink, or the food might be a little bit cheaper per plate. But I think it all kind of works out in the wash. Things that you wouldn't have to pay for at certain venues, you'd have to pay at others, like transportation or shuttle service, or maybe you need a limo now because, yeah, you're getting ready further away because there's no getting ready there, and now you have to take a limo for you and your, you know, bridal party so that they can drink. And, you know, so there are some considerations when it comes to that. And I think that couples need to realize that there's so much variety, right? Like, we just did a new post in our website where it's all the venues that are local to us. And there are so many.
Yeah, there's way more than I thought there were until I compiled them all into a list.
Yeah, there's so many venues. Couples need to sort of really dig deep and explore each of them because each wedding venue is so unique too, right? When we go to them, they're similar in the sense of, like, if it's a barn, it's a barn, right? But even the barn venues, there's such a variety of differences between them. Just the way they run things, the sunset, like the look of it. Some are very orange and like very rustic looking, and some are like, it's a barn, right, but it's more white and like modern looking. Some, it's a bit of both where they've got like some modern parts to it and some rustic parts to it. You see all of that, right? So I think that when they're looking at those venues is also looking at, like, can I make this process easier? And I think that what venues are doing, and I hope that they continue to do, is to look at the couple's experience for the entire day, not just the time that they're there. So what I'm talking about is really like getting ready. I feel like that is the one thing that every venue should be looking into, is having a space so the couple, both of them, right? Like, whoever, like each person in their own space can get ready either on site or very close by. That is probably the number one thing that I think would make all of our couples' lives so much easier if they didn't have to travel in between, you know, like that one portion of the day.
Sometimes they just don't have that room.
True.
We've seen some that half-ass do it.
Oof, yeah.
And it is tough because, sure, their selling point might be, okay, there's one room on site or even two, and they're getting ready, but we both know that as photographer, videographer, we show up there and we're like, this is it? You know, okay, get in your dress and we're going outside.
Well, it's a closet, basically, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's not super exciting to do anything in those spaces. We really just want them to put on clothing so we can take them somewhere else. Sometimes it's not better to have that than it would be to have a dedicated space off-site.
I mean, you have to look at each venue, but that is a part that I think couples overlook, is they don't understand how important that part of the day can be. Is like, you, if you're starting hair and makeup at 9 a.m. or 8 a.m., like, you don't want to have to then schedule in time to travel at 12 o'clock because you have to start doing your photos at 1. It's caused more problems for us and for our couples than anything else, is that in between travel, even downtown, right? Like, there are some venues downtown that don't have a hotel attached to them, right?
Yeah.
And so what that means is that we're now having to add in travel time. Now, downtown is different, right? Because we can walk, there's options there. But when you're having to travel 10, 20, 30 minutes, that's when we found that there's been some issues.
Sure, downtown is nice and we can walk places, but for us, dragging gear around, sometimes we have to show up early so we can drop it off at the venue and then go park and then walk to the location and then walk to back to the other location. So as a vendor, sometimes it is a little bit painful to, sure, you can walk from locations, but when you have like 10 bags that you have to leave at the venue and then come back, it can be a little painful for us not having everything on site at the one spot. Or there's little rules, like we have some venues that don't allow hair and makeup to get done. Sure, all the prep space is on site, but you still have to get your hair and makeup done elsewhere and then show up. So be sure that when you're selecting a venue that you ask the important questions of, how early can I get there? And what can I bring with me? Can I do makeup? Can I do hair? Are pets allowed? That's also kind of a fun one. If yeah. people want their dogs to be part of the ceremony, or what kind, like, I've never seen a cat at the ceremony before, but I mean, I'm sure it's not going to get...
You've seen bunnies, though.
Yeah, yeah, like pet bunnies. And if you want to include your animal, that's another thing. You may want to look for like a pet-friendly place to do that. Other important factors to know is, how strict are they on ceremony time and dinner times and things like that, because that can have a huge impact, especially when you get later in the year where the daylight starts to disappear earlier. Is make sure that you can get married at the time that you want. If you're getting married, for example, at a church and then you're doing a certain venue, like some churches only allow you to get married at like noon or one or two, depending if there's a service after or other weddings. Churches are a whole other thing. I don't want to get into it because like each church is different and there's these things to consider, but they're also part of choosing a venue, right? You can't discount that.
I think our biggest recommendation though is when you're looking at a venue is the vibe and feel, right? Like, do you feel like the people that you're meeting with is like giving you the right vibes, right? Like it might be the most amazing venue. Is that vibe there too, right? Like you really want to make sure that you're all on the same page when it comes to things. And also just understanding if certain parts of the day are really important to you, there needs to be like flexibility, right? I think you touched on the schedule thing. That's probably the number one thing that we have a hard time with, because the most popular time to get married in certain places is the fall. And yeah, we're running out of daylight in those times. And it just sucks for us because we might need to look at, you know, extended cocktail hour, or maybe we cut the cocktail hour short so we can do grand entrance and then do things like that. And you don't really know that when you're going into it. All you think is, I love fall. I don't want to be hot and sweaty. I love the colors and the changing leaves and stuff like that. And that's all you're looking at. But then you don't realize that that means that everything is going to be like compacted into a small window because it's dark at 6:30 or dark at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, right? that like last week of September to mid October, and yeah, you pick a venue you love, and they say, you know, in their contract, dinner has to be served between like 6 and 6:30. So that means everybody has to come inside at like 5:30 or 5:45, and you're like, yeah, cool. That, you know, I don't care.
Yeah.
Let's just sign the contract. And then you have your timeline meeting with your photographer and we go, wow, that's directly the sunset and we really need that time to be outside. And oh, there's no more flexibility there. The venue told you, you signed a contract saying that that's when you were going to be inside, and then we're stuck battling. And we've had these discussions with venues where we're like, no, we want to go out for sunset. And they're like, no, we have to do dinner because we've already prepped all the food for a specific time. And you can run into some issues. So just make sure that you, if sunset photos are important to you, that you consider that when booking a venue with strict timelines.
Yeah, with the timing of it being in the fall.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's the thing. Like, if you're looking at a fall wedding, number one tip is to check when is sunset, right? Because that 30 minutes or so leading up to the sunset time, so if it's at 7 p.m.
I would even say 1 hour before.
30 minutes is like the absolute, like, we have to go. Yeah. Knowing the venue is also important, but there's trees, right? Like, so in some venues, we know we have to be out an hour before because the trees are so big that the sun is going to hide behind them and then we're not going to really see that sunset. So yeah, definitely having that understanding is really important. And maybe even talking to the photographer ahead of time that you're interested in and be like, have you worked at this venue before? What are some of the things I need to know before I go?
Yeah, but not everyone talks to photographers before booking a venue.
I know.
Because usually it's like, oh, we have an idea of some dates in mind. It's going to be like the fall, either this year or next year. Then you reach out to venues that you potentially want to go. They send you back some dates. And then that's when you typically book that venue, look at their preferred vendor list, go from there, and then contact a photographer. A lot of people don't realize all the intricacies on, like, we could talk about all the venues and why we love certain venues from our standpoint.
Yeah.
But it's hard to understand what was really important for the couple at the time when they booked it. Yeah. Of course, we could be like, yeah, this venue sucks because like everything's orange and like all the photos we want to take are like nice, bright and white and that kind of stuff. But we make do, obviously, with any venue. We have some preferences of some venues just based on the aesthetics of it.
True.
And I think that's another thing that you have to sort of consider is the photos and how they're going to look in specific places and specific times of year as well. The flexibility of talking to somebody, a vendor that's been there 100 times, definitely use your resources before booking venues. But some people just
don't.
That's the first thing they want to do is book a venue, and they don't really consider the other options until it's too late.
Well, I guess that's our tip then. You need to look at who you're going to use to capture your day, and then they can give you their insights, because we have some tea when it comes to like some of the venues that, like, we know their little quirks. We know what works with them and what doesn't. And I mean, I'm not going to say who, but even just feeding the vendors, that is probably, like, I know it really doesn't matter. When you're going to book your venue, you don't really necessarily care about if they feed your vendors at what time or whatever, because you're not thinking about that. You're thinking about you and you getting fed. But that plays a big role in how we feel about going to venues as well, is how well they treat us. And I'm not saying that every venue needs to, like, be so appreciative of us being there. It's that they need to essentially understand that the way that they treat us is also kind of affects the way that we kind of approach the day. If they are excited to see us, or if they are flexible with us because of scheduling, because of sunlight and things like that, or if they feed us first, right? Like, please feed your vendors, you know, feed them first. First as well, so that, you know, we don't miss anything, right? Like, or eat a cold meal.
That's for a whole other episode, babe. We're talking about venues for clients, okay? The clients aren't gonna care if we get fed.
But it matters, right? When the other vendors, like, how many times has it been like their client has mentioned, we booked this venue, and then we go, oh yeah, we're so excited, or we're like, okay.
You know, here's the list of demands that you need to give them for us. So we've knocked down budgets, number of guests, accommodations, time of year, which makes a big difference, aesthetics, yeah, on what it is. And then we kind of talked a little bit about food. You also need to consider if you like a specific caterer, that some venues are only in-house dining and they may only make their own. So if you wanted, like, a buffet, or you're really picky about food, usually it's a little bit cheaper if you get an outsourced caterer to do a buffet or whatever. I'm only going off experience on the buffet thing, but that makes a big impact too on what kind of foods you like, may eliminate some venues there as well.
True, yeah. I mean, I know we've seen that happen where it's like, we really want to bring our own catering, but, like, a lot of venues don't offer that.
Another thing to consider about wedding venues is if there's multiple weddings happening simultaneously. There are some in our area that could have as many as 3 weddings all at the same time. Ceremonies are happening where maybe you love this venue because there's certain photography spots, but you can't access them at certain times. So you have to be mindful of your timeline, how you build it, and also respectful of the other weddings that are happening. If you're not a big sharer of spaces when you book one, then make sure that you consider that when you're choosing a venue.
Yeah, I think that that's so important. Like, I think they call them kind of like wedding machines, essentially, where they're just kind of pumping through multiple in one day. And I mean, it's never really been a problem for us. We've been able to make do, but it does mean that, you know, there's just some other things you should consider, especially like even a public space. I think that's something that, because now it's not just you at the wedding, right? Like, there could be other people that could randomly show up, right? So if you're getting married in a public space, like we had one where all these people standing and watching the wedding, and, you know, it was kind of weird. It kind of sucked to have, like, them also behind, you know, the bride as she's walking down the aisle with her parents. And that's something to consider, is just like the location of what your ceremony is going to look like. Didn't really talk too much about it, but, like, rain plans, you know, I think that's another thing that we didn't really touch on, is that having a venue that has a rain plan is also really, really important.
And I think most places have a plan B. The thing is, how nice is that plan B? Because if, for example, it starts raining on the day you were expecting to do a ceremony outside, and now you have to do it either underneath this tent or indoors in the building, but it has these, like, orange pot lights, and it's just, it does not look great. Maybe that's something to consider. Because if your time of year is either early in the spring or late in the fall, and the risk of rain is more than if you were to do it midsummer, you really need to consider how nice of a secondary plan it is, because if you were to use it, how bad would that impact the overall experience of your guests or your photography and videography?
So true. I think what I love is, like, I do love those tents that have, like, the clear tops, but then it's kind of works against us when it's sunny, because then you get, like, weird shadows and, like, lines and things like that. So,
and you start to bake.
And you start bake. Yeah, it's very true. You know, if people want to get married on the water, or they want to get married, I mean, if you're going by the water, it's always windy. Like, it's just always windy. You're on a beach. beach, it's windy, right? Those are things.
Or on top of a mountain.
Or on top of a mountain. Like, it's just, there's just wind. Maybe you don't have a really super long, flowy dress, or you don't have your hair down because, like, you know, things are going to blow away, essentially. Those are things to consider.
Actually, that's a really good point. I never really thought about that, is not only the weather as in, like, rain or snow or whatever, but how windy certain scenarios can be, like, near the water.
But there's also, like, boats that go by, right? Like, that was something that happened to us when we did
or
stuff
planes.
By the water. I mean, planes is kind of out of our control, but, yeah, planes that go by.
I mean, are boats in our control?
No, but I mean, like, if you're not by the water, you're not going to have to worry about boats, right? But, yeah, those are just things, like, it's just been funny where it's, like, a boat's going by and it's like, like, you're just like, okay.
Yeah, I still remember we did one, a boat and a plane. Both went by during the ceremony, like during their vows, and it was just, what do you do at that point? Do you just tell them to take a break and then continue afterwards, or?
No, you can definitely hear it, right? Like, that's part of their video. And the worst part about that one, though, for instance, is that we were on a dock. I don't know if you remember that, but we were on tiny little dock, and so not only were we on the water where I was already freaked out about falling in, but the boat went by and then it made waves, and then now we are literally riding these waves. So we have the noise of the boat, and then now we have the noise of the splashing of the water and the waves.
And a dock is not very quiet when it's going.
No. And there's people on it, and I was just scared constantly of falling in. Not my favorite.
Well, another noise to consider is if you're under a tent, even if it's raining, the tent getting hit by rain can make a ton of noise.
So loud. Or generators. That's another thing to consider. Yeah. You need lights and stuff like that. Generators make a lot of noise, so making sure that you have it kind of further away is another thing too.
Yeah, like if you're doing a tent wedding on a private property and it's one where, there isn't power nearby, you're not running extension cords from the house, and you're using a generator, make sure that it's very far away from the tent. Sometimes it's not as easy to do, but once the speeches start or ceremony or whatever it is that needs any kind of audio, hearing that generator is not going to help you in video. I mean, sure, you can have it during photos, but maybe even for your guest experience, just to have it far away. Same with, like, porta potties. Like, keep it far away from everything. We've even had it, like, even locations of where you put things, especially when you're planning a tent wedding or a private estate wedding, where, again, we're shooting down the aisle at a bride coming down, and the porta potties are just installed right behind where the bride is walking down, and it's in every single shot of them coming down the aisle. It's hard to plan for those kind of things, but it's just little details, again, that can make a big impact.
Because everybody thinks about the part where they're standing. They don't think about where they walk down. Ugh, the worst. Those porta potties. Yeah, I do kind of say that to everybody now that comes to us with a tent. I'm like, please be mindful of both sides, right? Because those are important photos.
I think you need to, just stand at the different vantage points and just see, okay, we're probably going to take photos this way, or this way, and look what's back there.
Yeah.
The venue might look great in one direction, turn around, and it doesn't look so great this way.
Last but not least, I think looking at reviews and getting references from people is really important when you're going around and looking at venues. Like, I feel like it would be kind of similar to buying a house. You kind of put up these blinders because you're just like looking, you know, at how amazing it is, and like you're so excited about the possibility of getting married there and envisioning yourself there, that sometimes you don't really see some things that you should have seen, if that makes sense. The things that we talked about, this space where they're gonna get married if there's really bad weather, or if the porta potties are really close to the ceremony area, and like that's all the smell you're gonna get. Maybe there is no rain plan location at this venue. Like there's so many factors to consider. Obviously reviews you have to take with a grain of salt. I do believe that, because you're never going to please everybody. And when you look at the reviews, you need to look at not just the good ones, but the bad ones, and see like, what was it that they really didn't like? Was it a miscommunication error? The reviews, I think, are a good place to start in terms of seeing like, okay, maybe some of these things we should be looking for, right? If they're like, it was so disappointing, we got married and then the porta potties was right beside our ceremony, and you could like get a smell downwind from them, like, maybe you want to choose a different place, right?
I know that you're putting a lot of emphasis on the porta potty thing, but it doesn't always have to be about poop.
No.
sometimes it could just be about the flexibility of the schedule, or I wish that they had more staff because I felt like dinner took forever to serve. Yeah. It could just be little things that you probably would never expect, especially on your first visit where you just are literally looking at the aesthetics and how things kind of work, but you don't really understand how it works until you've been through it. And I think pulling on the experience of previous brides or previous grooms would really help you understand, like, if one person had a problem with it and maybe they nitpicked a little thing and it's like, well, that one thing that they had a problem with won't be an issue with us. Or you just make sure that you're a little bit more sensitive if that problem did come up. Another thing is Facebook groups. You can always reach out to, hey, I'm looking for anyone that got married there in the last couple of years. I want to pick your brain, or I have a question about this.
Yeah.
And then vendors as well, right? And vendors that have been there before. We all have opinions about different things.
Those types of things you don't really think about, and I hope that you will now, because it does play a big part of the day, right? Like, I had it this year specifically. They were getting ready a hotel. We were going to the venue, and the limo literally went to the wrong spot. And then was supposed to come back and pick up the clients, and they just never came. So I ended up having to, like, take the clients into my car and, like, drive them to the venue.
You don't get ready on site, well, you're just gonna have a little bit more stress about traveling over there, about possibilities of it running late. There's always some give and take. Usually venues that have getting ready on site are a little bit more expensive just because they offer that kind of capability.
Yeah.
It really depends on if you'd like to either trade some stress for some money, because that's just life.
True. What is it gonna cost?
If it doesn't cost money, it's going to cost you something else.
Exactly. Experience, right? So if you want a very chill, easy day, my recommendation is choose a place that has everything very close by. And if you are okay with traveling, just know that you're going to have to get up at the crack of dawn to start getting ready, and that there will be usually some kind of issue when it comes to, you know, traveling. Like, it just always happens when you have 100 people trying to get to one place. Something happens. We even had one, I don't know if you remember that this year, where the guest got on the wrong shuttle bus and went to the wrong wedding.
Yep.
Do you remember that? And so they showed up. They were at this wedding, and then they realized, they're like, wait a second, we don't know anybody here. And the bride and groom's name is completely different.
Wasn't it their grandparents?
It was like an uncle or something.
It was their family members. Yeah,
it was like, anyways, so funny, absolutely hilarious kind of moment. But that's just like, just things that happen, right? And it's a funny story now, but they obviously missed the ceremony because they were at a different wedding, right? And then I think they probably had to get a taxi or something now because they missed the shuttle and all those things. But yeah, just little things like that will probably happen because of that part of the day, sadly.
Yeah, so the last tip is make sure that you also pull from reviews. Don't just rely on what the venue is telling you, because a lot of them just want to sell you. Right, so it's really hard to compare one to the other because they all are just going to tell you what's amazing about it, and they're going to avoid talking about any of the difficulties that anyone else might face. Most of the time, they will feed the couple first and then tier their way through the parent tables and all that, and then we usually get fed last. But as soon as they're done plating, then usually they'll call up a speech and we have to leave our nice hot food and go shoot the speech and then come back. Sometimes they even clean up our plates without us touching it, yeah. Which is kind of insane, I think.
And you pay for that meal they throw out.
Yeah, the couple has paid for the meal for us to eat, and then we didn't even get any of it. Or you get a couple bites in, and then the staff will come and just take it away as the speech is happening, especially if it's a 45-minute speech that's happening from, like, a parent or whatever. Little things like that, where even having the capability of feeding your vendors at the same time as the head table makes a huge difference in our happiness, and also in the amount of time that we can then get ready for the speeches and be there when important moments happen.
Yeah, I love that you touched on that again, because it is such an important part of choosing a venue, and I hope that venues will listen to this and understand that vendors do play a big role in this too, right? When we're excited to go somewhere, you're just going to get much happier days, if that makes sense. When the vendors are just thrilled and excited because they know how well they're going to be taken care of, that just makes it so much easier. We all know, like we all talk to each other. It's a small community, so it's really important to take good care of them.
Yeah, that might be a question that you ask your vendor if you want to hire other vendors and you're saying like, hey, what do you think about this venue? Because again, we all have opinions on maybe the aesthetics or like how things play out timeline-wise, but also how they respect and treat us. It doesn't really excite us to visit these. And if ever somebody books us before booking a venue, sometimes we just wouldn't even recommend that venue, right?
I think it's just important for them to know. And I hope, honestly, I really hope going forward that venues will start to take care of the people that are there. And I mean, at the end of the day, we're providing usually for free. Like, we're not charging them. We give them all of our photos. We give them all of our videos. And that's a lot of work that we've put in. And it's important for us to have that good vibe with each other so that they can use these for future things as well, right? It's kind of awful, to be honest, when we get asked to send photos, but even though they treated us horribly the entire day and then are like, hey, but can you send us the photos? And you're like, oh my gosh, you know, this was such a bad day. Like, you were so rude to us. And now you're asking us to give us this.
And we do it anyway, because we're so nice.
I know, of course we give it to them, but it's sad, right? Because we care so much and we are not the type of people that are trying to make things difficult.
Well, there's a lot of things to unpack here, a lot of factors to consider when choosing a venue. I don't know, it would be hard for me to choose a venue if I had to choose one right now.
I think so too, so good luck.
Yeah, good luck, but good luck. Hopefully you learned a little bit about tips and tricks on what you should consider. Also, a vendor standpoint on venues and what's important for us, like restricted timelines on ceremonies and dinner. Make sure the time of year makes sense, especially if you're looking at sunset photos.
And making the day like as stress-free as possible.
Yeah.
Right? I think
that's the ultimate goal. That's our tagline.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, from a venue perspective, that plays a huge role in that part, right?
So true.
Thanks for watching and we'll see you next time.